Hi everyone, and welcome to PMQT, Project Manager's Question Time. In each episode, we talk to our guests about their career journey and their personal experience of being a project manager. As our listeners are likely to be double busy project managers themselves, we aim to keep our episodes bite-sized, short and sharp. Project Manager's Question Time is sponsored by Trooper, the software toolkit for busy professional project managers. Well, welcome back, everybody. Today, we're delighted to welcome Joe Bodanes to the podcast. So Joe is the digital lead at the Medical Specialist Group, or MSG, as it's often called. So welcome to the podcast, Joe.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I always start by looking at people's LinkedIn profiles. Mm-hmm. I can see from yours you had quite a varied career across both private and public sectors. So can you tell us a little bit about that career path, and then specifically, how did you get into project management?
Okay. When I left school, I went and worked at Credit Suisse, assume I'm able to do that, and basically started working there. Within a couple of years, I was put into the accounting and the financial control area, and started to lead that, actually, after not very long. So was very much involved in project management initially as an SME, so okay. A lot of work on migrations, new systems, things like that, but very much as an SME for that sort of side of things. I found that it was a great grounding because you get to really understand how the bank worked and how all the financial instruments work and how you account for them and everything. So that's what I started doing. Went there to another couple of banks after that. Started doing some improvement processes, so started doing process mapping. And then I think after that I took a slight career break because I had my second child. So I started doing work actually in other industries. So I was doing my husband's, he's self-employed, so I was doing his accounts. And then I went to work at the NSPCC because they were setting up here and they had drop-in clinics and things like that. Right. So I trained as a sort of sessional worker with them. And when my youngest daughter went to nursery, I was going every morning there when she was at nursery. I set up their toy library for them. So really quite diverse. And unfortunately, they've all closed now, but did that. And then I took a job at education because my daughter had just started school, or my second daughter, should I say. And she was in reception. And at the time, we had to go and pick them up at lunchtime and all the rest of it. So this one was a term time job in education. It was in the IT area, but it was doing finance. So I chose to do that because basically it was something to get me back into it. And I thought, well, I know that I can do it with my eyes closed type of thing. So I started doing that and they were like, oh, okay, she knows what she's talking about. So developed from there, became a qualified business analyst in 2015 because it turned out that's kind of what I'd been doing all the time. Just hadn't realised it. And I sort of thoroughly enjoyed that. And progressed within the states, I guess. Then, of course, they outsourced the IT. So I ended up at Agilisys, and I was there for a couple of years. And then I was lucky enough to get a job at Medical Specialist Group as their digital lead, and specifically being the rep on the electronic patient record program for HSC, so health and social care.
So perhaps we'll talk a bit more about that a little bit later on. So a massive project you're involved in. So tell us a little bit more about your role at MSG, and maybe you could start by explaining to the listeners what MSG do. It's quite a unique organisation. Really.
It is. So Guernsey's healthcare is a somewhat special, as you say, unique setup. So health and social care is part of the state of Guernsey, obviously, and they have to provide the health and social care for the population of Guernsey. Medical Specialist Group is in a contract, a secondary healthcare contract with HSC, and their role is to provide sort of consultancy services. So it's not like the NHS where you have your junior doctors and you have your consultants, your nurses and all the rest of it employed by the NHS. In this, over here, it's somewhat different, and the sort of medical side and the surgical side is basically managed by MSG. Contracted to provide the services to HSC. So very much a joined up sort of approach to providing healthcare secondary healthcare in the island. And, you know, I think the hospital can't really work without MSG and the MSG can't work without the hospital. So it's very sort of interlinked. That's where I am and that's what we're doing.
Okay. So that's a good introduction to MSG. So what about your current role, your sort of roles and responsibilities there?
So digital lead is really looking at any digital improvements, process improvements, new systems that we can bring in. And as I say, specifically, they wanted me to be their rep on the EPR project as well, or program, should I say, as well. So I do various things. At the moment, I'm seconded to health and social care for the EPR programme, but it's just keeping my hand in a little bit with some of the work going on at MSG. But we have brought in some new systems, brought in a new finance system at middle part of last year, currently doing some projects on digital voice recognition and all the rest of it. So there's various different things that we're doing, but a lot of that has sort of, I guess, paused a little bit whilst we're working on the implementation of the replacement of the EPR. Which is huge.
So tell us a bit more about the EPR, because that is a massive project, isn't it, that you're working on?
Yes, so that's, again, it's an HSC-run programme to replace the current system that has been in place for quite some years. And I actually got involved in it back in 2018 when I was still working for the States and had to go out to HSC and work out what their requirements were for the procurement. So myself and a team went around sort of identifying all the service areas, understanding what their requirements were, including the medical specialist group, because obviously they use the system. And so we had to understand what they needed, how they worked, and what information they needed. Pulled that together into about 4,500 requirements, I think it was, which we then mapped through to the framework that we were procuring under. Then I stepped back after about 11 months, I think it was, because it was going through procurement. COVID obviously delayed things a little bit. Anyway, once I was at MSG, obviously they had chosen the supplier, and HSC obviously realised that I was back there and said, you know, okay, can she start helping a little bit on our side? So initially I was just being the rep for EPR but from the MSG perspective, but that changed reasonably quickly and was then doing 50-50, and then it just ramped up so much it had to be 100% really, because it's a big programme.
It must be fascinating to be working on the project.
It is. Yeah. I love it, but it's... I'm not doing project management on it. I'm very much on the business analysis side and looking at configuration and testing and training and, you know, pathway process mapping, that type of thing. But it is really interesting, yeah.
And our friends in Jersey are going through the same process?
They've recently done the same. Yeah. They've moved from the same supplier to the same supplier. In Guernsey, it's a... I don't like to say it, a bit more complicated, because obviously if anybody in Jersey hears that, they will be cross with that. But we are here replacing both acute mental health, but also community and adult disability and child health. So there are actually going to be two systems that actually create the EPR.
Right. Yeah, so a very challenging project. So more generally, though, what do you think is the most challenging part of being a project manager?
Managing stakeholders' expectations, usually, I would say, and getting to the root of the problem sometimes. And I think people like to solutionise quite quickly. Yeah, you know, here's the problem and here's my idea for how I'm going to resolve it, or here's the product I've bought to resolve it. So I think getting to the root of the problem, and then, as I say, managing the expectations and keeping them informed, really. Equally challenging can sometimes be getting the detailed tasks that you need from the individual stakeholders who are part of that, you know, delivery. But it's all about people, isn't it, really?
It is all management. Yes. Yeah. That's right, yes. And we sometimes forget that we're working on projects and it's our job. But we're asking people who have a day job to do those things, so it can be a bit tough. Do you think there's any particular challenges that women project managers face?
I think possibly some do, but I don't think I've really particularly come up against it. Or if I have, I've probably just ignored it. Because I think generally you sometimes like, oh yeah, does she know what she's talking about, sort of thing. But then you know, if you can do your job, then people tend to just get over it. So I haven't really had too much of a problem with that, no.
No, I agree. I've never seen any discrimination or pushback, you know.
No.
That's great. So... what's the favourite project that you've ever worked on?
That's quite difficult. I think I'm going to say, other than EPR aside, which I do, you know, I love that, but it's not delivered yet, so still work in progress. Aside from that, I think probably the replacement of the systems at Beausejour that was I did a few years ago, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I think that's probably because I literally managed it from start to finish. So from the initial, we need a system, you know, and gathering all the requirements, going through the procurement, managing through the tender, going out to sort of contracting with the supplier, and then project managing the actual implementation and the go live. So it was great because it was literally a start to finish. And it was quite a big project because they had lots of different systems. They were combining to try and use one. And obviously that was their one of their sort of top requirements was to have one system that was used throughout the organisation. So, and whereas they had separate ones for the cafe and for, you know, events or for, you know, the gym and all the rest of it. So it was using just one system for all of that. Yeah. And so some of the stakeholders had to sort of acknowledge that they weren't going to get maybe the best of breed for their area, but they realised that there was benefit from the whole organisation. So it was, but it was good. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah.
So Beausejour is obviously our local sports centre, leisure centre, I suppose you call it. So, yeah. So that did cover like the booking systems, yeah, etc. and
so
all
it
that?
Was, exactly. Yeah. So it, prior to the go live, which was July 2018, I think it was, there was no online booking for or membership, you know, for membership or for booking of classes. There was a system that you could do for the events, but it was a bit sort of outdated, I guess. This was bringing it all together, up, refreshing the websites, and then giving the public the ability to renew your membership online, book your classes online, see what was available, you know, have the sort of interaction and the same for Guernsey tickets. So. Mm. Yeah, so it was good because it was really good to bring that to life. I really enjoyed that.
So, you know, when times are tough sometimes in the project world, how do you sort of switch off? What do you do when you get home?
Probably, my dog. My dog is probably my best stress reliever. So he's always happy to see me no matter what. Whereas not always the same for the husband and the kids. But there we go. They'll kill me for saying that. But yeah, so he's great because he doesn't care. It doesn't care what your day's like. He's just like, I'm here, you know, and come and play with me sort of thing. So yeah, he's a great stress reliever. But it's mainly my dog, horses, and my family, really. That's it.
Yeah.
And friends, obviously. I socialise with my friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Pets are a great sort of leveller, aren't they?
They don't care.
No. Still, as long as there's food.
Yeah. You take him for a walk, you still have to pick up his, you know, yeah. deposits, shall we say. So, yeah. Yeah. Definitely a great leveller. Right. Yeah.
So, just sort of looking forward, what do you think the future holds for project management inside your organisation and for you personally?
I think, you know, everything's always changing, isn't it? And we have to change. So I think project management is here to stay. I think it's definitely taking off at MSG, and I think it will continue within HSC and all the other sort of areas. And I've worked in it for so long, either as an SME or more recently as a, you know, project manager or business analyst, I can't see me going outside of that because I thoroughly enjoy it. And I actually really love the fact that you can go into any industry, it doesn't matter. And you can apply the same skills and you can still do the job. I actually really enjoy when you meet somebody, you know, you've seen your stakeholder at the beginning and they're sort of, especially if you do it in sort of a clinical environment, you're not clinical, you don't know. I don't need to be clinical because that's your job.
Yeah.
My job is to get from you what you need. So I really like the fact that you can be working all over the place in other different industries.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of project management, isn't it? You can work in any industry,
yeah,
and you learn so much about how people do their job. That's great. Jo, it's been great talking with you today. Thanks very much for taking the time to speak with us and reflecting on your career path. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you very much.